What is going on, everybody? Hope everyone's having an amazing day. I got my boy and special guest, brother, friend, Alex Newman, certified CrossFit coach, coming in on the episode today. It was an awesome, awesome conversation. I always enjoy having our chats. I wanted you guys to listen to what we talk about. We're always talking about fitness. We're always talking about getting better. And today we talked a lot about community and why that's so important. And it was funny too. I mean, I went on a ramble about a football story and I lost track of thought, and Alex made fun of me, and it was hilarious, and we laughed and we moved on. And I hope you guys really enjoy this one. I want to do more of this, so we'll see, and let's get into the show. Enjoy.
Hello.
Yo. What's up, my man?
Can you still hear me?
Hear you loud and clear. Hear me?
Yeah, I can.
All right. Cool. We got a guest host, my man Alex, and this is episode 164, and it's been like 3 years since we've been talking about doing this.
Yeah, legitimately 3 years.
So me and Alex go back probably 4 or 5 years even.
Yeah.
Where we worked together, and we actually did a CrossFit competition together. We've trained a lot together. Not as much as I would like to, but we have trained a lot. And Alex also helped me a lot, coaching me when I was doing powerlifting and I was prepping, and more just like being an accountability buddy. And I like to think that I paid him back in that regard, right? I mean, so we've been doing this for how long have you been lifting for? And then we can talk about a few other things that I had in mind.
How long have I been lifting? So I have been, I have dabbled in bro workouts since, probably 2005 or 2006. So what do we call that? 15, 16 years. Yeah. I would say that's half my life. So for half of my life, I've been lifting in some semblance. I ran a lot and did obstacle course races and rock climbed and played basketball, all in past parts of my life. So I would say 2010 to 2013-14 was my basketball, rock climbing, running phase. And then one day playing basketball, I strained my hamstring or my calf or something really badly, and had to take a few weeks off from playing basketball. And I was playing like 3 or 4 hours every day. So I
didn't know you could ball.
I couldn't. I played. It doesn't mean I can actually do it. I used to play from probably like 2004 on to about 2014. I used to play like 3 or 4 hours a day. I played a lot.
For like the exercise, like getting out there, being competitive, stuff like that.
Yeah, for the exercise, especially with LA Fitness. You could be there for 4 hours and only run like, 10 games, just because if you lose, you're off the court for like 40 minutes. I used to get a good amount of run, but it doesn't mean I'm actually working out for 4 hours, let's say. But 2014, after 2013, I had joined a rock climbing gym that also had CrossFit classes. This is when CrossFit was just on TV, really getting popular, but wasn't quite, I would say, where it is now.
Right.
And in that 2014 time period, I decided, all right, I can't play basketball. I'm going to, take a break. I'm going to let myself heal, because I was doing I had Spartan races that I was training for, and I didn't want to go hurt into a Spartan race, especially I think the month after this, I had a 10 mile race that I was training for. So I decided to go for a free trial in that CrossFit class. And I just saw people doing things I had never seen before. I saw a dude, and this ended up being one of my really good buddies, a dude with a cast on his arm. He had a broken arm climbing a rope and doing like a rope climb workout and just doing the whole workout with a broken arm. And I was watching these people. I was amazed. And I thought I was in really good shape. I used to be able to run. And I was doing like 10-mile training runs and all this shit. And I did a trial workout with a 13-year-old at the time and a 15-year-old who were brother and sister. It was, I think, 12 minutes total for the workout. And I was shown up, embarrassed, and absolutely destroyed in that time period. And I came out of that just going, I have to continue this. Like, I have to keep going with this. Because anything that can make me feel like that after 12 minutes, like, I'm clearly not doing something right. And
humbled you real quick.
Yeah. Humbled me real quick. And I told myself, it's expensive. It's all these things. I'll go, you know, a few times a week. And my goal is to get a six pack by my wedding. My wedding was 7 months after that, I think. I never looked back. I've been at that gym for pretty much every day for 7 years. Started coaching maybe 2 years in, after getting my CrossFit certification. I've met so many people, so many faces. Some of my best friends ended up being the people that were there that day. I've been on vacations with them. I've run races with them, stayed in hotel rooms. We've grown families together, been to weddings. It's been a wild ride.
It's an amazing community. Yeah. And I can say from going to the gym in Staten Island that the few times I've been there, and I've been there a few times, the listeners, it was just awesome. The vibes are great. I have some videos in there. The powerlifting competitions, the online Corey G powerlifting competition I did was there. And I used to take the train from Manhattan, and we used to have a good time, man. Grab some bagels after.
Yeah.
So no, but the community is like, that's what's so special that I don't really have anymore. But you know, I grew up with that, sports teams, college football, lifting with buddies, joining, you know, whatever it was, just always in groups and, you know, stuff like that. College, you know, obviously was a pretty big deal. That was like a frat and a brotherhood and everything together. It's like, there's nothing like college ball, right? So, but like that community of CrossFit in general, just CrossFit I think it's underrated, man. I think it's very underrated. I think CrossFit in general is just like a beautiful thing with the community aspect. As long as you don't have like a douchebag leader of the gym, which you guys don't. You guys have really cool people. And like, as long as you're not like constantly like banging hard and never recovering. But you guys do have a good balance. Like you focus on your mobility, your recovery, your, you know, your rest days and stuff. So I find that's just so fascinating. Guys listening, like if you're looking for the gym, like you really need motivation, community is the word. Community is like the action that you need to seek. Surrounding yourself with really good people. Because look at Alex, like he's been at this gym every day for 7 years. No wonder why he's happy with, you know, what he has like in lock, like his grind of staying healthy and staying fit, staying strong. That's pretty important. I mean, so yeah, that I like that a lot.
Yeah, I think you hit it on the head too. That community aspect is is the most important thing. And I can't overstate enough how much, you know, CrossFit's a great training program. I think it's a really useful training program, but if you walk into a gym and that community isn't there, or that community isn't for you, right? Because not every circle is your circle. Then you're not going to have a great experience, because it's like any gym. If you, LA Fitness, you'll keep going even if you don't know anybody, just because you have to do something, right? You feel like you have to do something. Yeah. But when you know, you've been to the gym with John, but John was another coworker of ours who was a powerlifter, great powerlifter. And he also worked at a gym, and it's the same thing. When you get somewhere that has those vibes where you could walk in every day and just have that smile on your face and know you're around friends and know you're around people that care about what you're doing or care about you as a person, it changes everything. So you're 100% on
that. Dude, you just made me fucking... I'm just like thinking, like, why am I going to Retro Fitness right now? I'm just fucking sitting here like I go, I get my lift, but it's like very short, precise. Like, and I still maintain my strength. I was repping to some 255 presses today.
Freak.
But I mean, I'm not like, I need that community, you know? I like when so what I do for my community now with obviously with everything that's going on, it's like, is just keeping in touch with a lot of my friends, you know, maintaining that. But that's still that physical being there community is so important. So I'm actually now reconsidering. Maybe I should start looking for some.
Well, I was just going to say, you've been in your house for 2 years?
Almost.
Yeah.
Yeah. Almost New Jersey, 2 years.
Oh, yeah. So in that, you know your area at this point. You just got to find a place, even if it's, you know what you're looking for. You know what you need in a gym. You know, like, what equipment you need or what extras you need.
I don't need much.
Right.
I don't need much, but also I don't need, like, you know, fucking, like, Planet Fitness. I'll never do Planet Fitness, but I've done Planet Fitness, though.
So have I. It was an experience. I went from a New York Sports Club. For anybody who pre-pandemic, New York Sports Club was a series of clubs where you can go, and the gyms were never the same, at least in the city, just because no gym in the city has the same layout ever. But there were literally like 50 of them. So you can go anywhere in the city. And I used to use them. I had a membership where you could go to any of them, whether Boston, Philly, New York, or I think there were DC ones too. You can go to any of them. So I would use them as like mobile showers. If I was going out for a night, I would go to work and be like, oh, I'm going by this place. I'll work out at that gym and I'll shower there and then go out. So I went from New York Sports Club to Planet Fitness, and Planet Fitness, the lack of free weights, everything being, there's a use and a place for machines for a lot of people. But if you're telling me I can't like squat dead bench, there's a problem. I hate that place. I really do.
Dude, no, fuck Planet Fitness. I went to some really cool gyms, right? I went to this gym when I lived in New Orleans. And for guys, you know me, a lot of people know, like, I played football competitively. I played in high school. Wasn't that good. Started 1 year, my senior year. Then I went to college and I started 3 years. And I did arena and I played well there. Got injured, went semi-pro, made the all-star team, won a national championship. Did that. But in that time frame, like after that, I kept lifting. I got like really fucking strong, like, because I didn't have to play football anymore. So I wasn't worried about jumping, running, all this stuff. I was just worried about getting huge. So when I was in New Orleans, easy place to get huge, ton of great food, lived there for 2 years. I went to this gym, just like a, It was in like a mall in like the basement, and it was just fucking just rugged and just nasty, and it was awesome. And I met, and literally, I know it's like a nice little tight-knit community. I met professional football players there. I met professional bodybuilders there. And I fucking went every day, and like we'd be in there and we'd spot each other, and it was like fucking awesome, right? Besides golf, like the gym for me is my social life, right? For the last 10, 11 years, besides golf. Now I don't have any social life in this retro fitness. Everyone's wearing their fucking mask and fucking being
stupid. It's the headphones. I don't like headphones.
I think it's the mask. I'm mad about the mask more so that I can't, when I smile, no one can see my smile. So it's kind of like, no one knows that I'm smiling.
You got to do the smiles. There's it's from Tyra, America's Next Top Model, I think. She has something called smize, where you smile with your eyes. I thought it was the dumbest thing ever. I still do. But it's true. You know when you smile when you have a mask on. I know very well when you smile because your eyes widen. You can know. Yeah. But if you're in another gym where you can't hear anybody, like if you have your headphones in your ears and you're all in your own space, right? And you're squatting, mm-hmm. you're going for a max squat. Somebody's behind you screaming at you, telling you to get the fuck up. You can't hear them if you have headphones in, right?
Right.
But when we did that powerlifting competition, I'm standing in front of you while you're doing a deadlift. You're fucking lifting 450 pounds off the ground. You're in your head, but as much as you're in your head, you're hearing everything around you and having people around you that are helping you work through that rep and breathe through that rep and stand up from the fucking squat, stand up the deadlift, whatever it may be. And, you know, hearing people around you is huge.
That is true. So now that takes me back, right? When I was in college football, we'd have the weight room fucking.
Yes. And nobody has headphones in.
Dude, it was no. So that was a reality check for me. I walk in as a freshman. I just put on like 20 pounds in the off season. I walk in as a freshman in college in the weight room, and I get in there and I'm like, yeah, I can bench 275. And I barely could bench 275. It was like weak, but.
Weak. I've ever benched in my life is 240, and it was 25 pounds ago. So at 275 was fine, I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean, well, bench has always been like fun for me, but I've been doing it for a while, and you know, I'm 6'1", and I'm, you know, got whatever. But blessed with the genetics a little bit, not as much as these guys though. So my story is like, I go in there. I'm a freshman. I look, there's a senior. I forget his name. I think it's Kevin. For this case, we'll call him Kevin because his name is Kevin. And he is fucking massive, like 6'3", 240 pounds, ripped to the bone, probably taking juice. He's our senior captain. He's in the squat rack doing 400 for like reps. Just going. He has like these cat eye contacts in his eyes. And we're at Western Connecticut State. And I'm a freshman. I'm sitting there like, fuck, and he gets done, he's like, oh, like everyone's pumped up. He's going to like failure, like repping this shit like 10 times. Then he goes to the bench and he puts three plates on and he's freaking jamming. And I'm like, oh my God. And I can't even do two plates for like rep. I'm like, oh my, I got a lot of work to do. And you just go into war with these guys. And then you realize when you get on the field that obviously playing skill is very important, and bench press strength is relative to how good you are at football. Same with squat and all this stuff. But at a certain level, you get to a certain level, which I got to, where I could clean 275 power clean. And I think my most I cleaned was 295. And that was I may have did 315, but I don't know. I think I did, but doesn't matter, right? You just have that community feel. Everyone was in the gym. We had a nice, small, tight knit gym. Didn't have a huge budget for Division III school. And it was fucking awesome. And whenever you can recreate that feeling, it's awesome. With semi-pro, we didn't lift together. We trained together, but we didn't lift together. We did field stuff. With arena, that was cool. We trained together. It was freaking cool. But again, a lot of focus on coach didn't care if we benched. We didn't bench a lot. He just wanted us to go nice and slow with the reps. And then we worked on a lot of stretching and a lot of mobility. like the most stretching I've ever done in my life for 6 weeks was when I played arena football down in Georgia. It was like, I stretched so fucking much. Like we stretched all the time. And by the way, I probably ran the fastest I've ever ran in my life when I was down there. I have this coach, Irvin Bryson, Coach Irvin Bryson, who coached Canadian football. He coached arena football. He coached Fred Jackson of the Buffalo Bills, the running back, and at Sioux Falls. Fred Jackson, I think he was a Pro Bowler. He coached him. And I had him call me out in the middle of a team meeting and say, you got to watch out for this white boy here from Connecticut. He runs a 4.5. And I'm like,
I was going to say, you ran a 4.5?
No, I did run a 4.64. That was my fastest time. I ran that multiple times. I ran multiple 4.66s. I ran 4.67s. And when I got the freshman year in college, I ran a 5-second 40. But I got fucking fast. And at that time, just him saying that, I'm like, I do run a 4.5. I'm like, I am fucking fast. And when I was on that field, man, when I was down there, that was a thrill. I remember I did it, and my dad was like, what are you doing? And he was surprised. Like, you're actually going? I'm like, yeah, I'm just going to – I don't want to work. I was working for him at the time in the machine shop. And at the time, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go and do this. And he's like, what? And I was like, yep. So I packed my car, and like 2 days later, I just drove to Georgia.
So timetable that, because I know when you were in New Orleans, you were with your wife.
I was with Carmen at this time, too. This is right after – this is like 2 years after
college. Oh, damn.
So I finished college. I took a full year to not do anything with football. And then I – let's see, man. What's the timetable? What was the timetable like? Yeah, I took a full year to not do anything with football, but train for football, if that makes sense. So I took a full year to not play football, but I took a full year to train for
it. Was that when you were training for the combine? And then,
that was after all the, that was after
okay,
everything. The combine was 2014. So this was 2011. I walked. So 2010, I played my last season of college football. May 2011, I walked. I graduated. And at that time, I was just like training, doing different stuff with my body, doing paleo, doing CrossFit football. And I wanted to bring back this, and I wasn't thinking about this at the time. And I sometimes you guys will hear me on the podcast like hate on the idea of CrossFit, right? But what you have to understand is that I did CrossFit for football. Like that was like the best thing. I was in the best shape of my life doing workouts of the days. The reason I hate on CrossFit is because a lot of people don't balance their mobility and don't take care of themselves and get injured. But if you do the balance, which I know you do, like it's literally, I literally was in the best shape of my life and I was an absolute monster and I was just not afraid of anything. Like I was not afraid of anything. So that guy benching 400 pounds, like didn't faze me because when I knew I was on the field, I trained harder and it was just the craziest thing. So I did CrossFit football, which is like a variation of CrossFit. It's basically like more volume, bigger weight, lower reps, but still, you know, CrossFit, which is just fucking insane. So I did that. I trained hard. I was doing that for a while. And then I got an agent, a football agent, Ken. Ken looked around. This is my final semester of college. We talked for about probably 8 months. I trained, got YouTube videos, sent them out, did all that stuff, sent them to Ken. Ken sent them to a few guys, did combines. So I think my first combine was an arena combine in Pennsylvania. Did pretty well. I did an arena combine. I did two arena combines in Pennsylvania, one in Lehigh Valley, one out in Pittsburgh. The Pittsburgh one was later in my career. The Lehigh Valley one was my first one. At the time, my girlfriend at the time, my wife now, Carmen, she was at the college dorms. And I remember going to Lehigh Valley, Pennsylvania from Danbury, Connecticut in the middle of the fucking, like this biggest rainstorm in my 1999 Chevy Lumina with like half a gas tank missing. And I'm just driving like in this pouring storm just to get to this combine, which starts at like 7. It's like 6:30 and I can't even see in front of me. And I get there on time and I performed very well. And then I got a call that said, hey, do you want to come play in Poland?
Yes.
And I was like, Poland. And at the time I made the decision to not go to Poland.
I wonder why.
No, because I was with Carmen and we're, you know, so I'm with my wife and like, we're madly in love with this, you know, and we still are. Right. So I was like, you know what? That wouldn't be fair. I'm like, it's Poland. I'm like, who the fuck plays football in Poland? It's like, you could tell it wasn't that serious. So at the time I was like, all right, you have to weigh your options, like quality over quantity. You can do better than Poland. Yeah. Would it be cool? Probably be freaking awesome. But I'm not going to go. So, and the crazy thing that really wanted me to pull me there was my grandfather's Polish. And I'm part Polish, obviously, because my grandfather's Polish. And I was like, oh, it'd be so cool. You know, I've always wanted to travel to Poland and to like Europe and go out there, like Germany and stuff, like go out a little more east in Europe, east of the western portion. And I, you know, wanted to do that. But at the time I was like, you know, I'm training, I'm trying to stay some in the States. I'm not trying to go to Poland. So I didn't do that. And then I got a call from Coach Urban Bryson in Georgia. And this was a couple months later. And I, this was, I mean, I was probably 22. And then I played 6 weeks, bro. Like the first 4 weeks were training and everyone was like, came in kind of out of shape except me. Like literally these guys were Division I football players, all of them. And I was probably one of like the two Division II, three guys. One guy played Tim Tebow when he played at Ole Miss, and they beat Tim Tebow in the Florida Gators at Ole Miss, and he was the starting cornerback. Basically, that's the guy who lined up across me every day, and I was a wide receiver. So I was, like, running routes and beating a guy who beat Tim Tebow in, like, the Florida Gators, and he beat me, yeah, but, you know, it was amazing. And I didn't tell the coaches and the team, and I tell this all the time in my podcast and my stories, I actually tweaked my hamstring 2 weeks before I went to arena, didn't tell anyone, rehabbed it really hard. And then when I got there, I kind of faked it. No one knew I had a bad hamstring. I felt good. Then I got a concussion.
One of the many.
That I ran. Yeah. Yeah. But it was bad. It was probably the worst one. I wasn't wearing a helmet. We were in 3/4 speed drills and we weren't wearing helmets. And I ran right into one of my teammates' shoulders and just fucking knocked me out. And I was concussed deep. And then I got back from the concussion a week later and tweaked my hamstring. Then I was like, hey, Justin, we got to let you go. And I was like, all right, I understand. I was super pissed, but I still felt like I was still like, I don't, my hamstring's fine. But at the time, like a hamstring takes like months to heal, man. Hamstrings nag you so much. Like if you have a bad hamstring, don't try to push it because your hamstrings literally can take months to heal properly.
That's the exact thing that brought me to CrossFit was popping my hamstring. So
yeah, like you said, you strain yeah, your hamstring, yeah, playing basketball, right? So like, yeah, dude, it was, I think I might have partially tore it, or like might have done something to it was like bad, but I had a very bad deep twinge. Maybe it was like a grade 2 pull, but anyways, after that, I got more pissed. I went back, rehabbed my hamstring harder, trained harder, said, fuck this, I'm going to play football. Saw something local for semi-pro, realized it was pretty legit. It's called the New England Football League. There's three leagues. There's the A, the AA, the AAA. Like baseball, A is the weakest, AAA is the strongest. I'm like, I'm not going to play unless I'm fucking AAA. So I called the coach on AAA. I said, hey, I'm Justin, I'm going to be playing for you this year. He was like, what? And then I was like, yep, here's my video. Here's my this. Like, I played at Western. Like, you're going to be happy. It's going to be good. And I went out there and I balled and I started and I
had you won the championship.
I averaged like, well, no. So the first year I had like 6 touchdowns. I had a bunch of catches. I averaged like 17 yards of reception. And I was in amazing shape doing the CrossFit football, healthy, hamstring great, everything amazing, perfect, like for me. We got to the New England Championship, the NAFL Championship against Springfield Mass, and we lost in the 4th quarter down by like 3, and the final pass was thrown to me, and I didn't make – I tried to make a play on it and just missed it, and we lost. And some would say it was, the ball was over my head, but I think if I had another chance to recreate it – you always think as a competitor, like, if I had another chance to recreate that, I could have caught that ball. But then we lost the New England Championship, and we're done for the season. And coach is like, do you guys want to play a bowl game? And we're all like, no, fuck that. We're going to get together again. We're going to run this back next year. So next year I come back, we run it back. Full squad, amazing squad, great guys, community, right? Community. It was awesome. And We're down to Bridgeport, Connecticut, in like the fourth quarter or second quarter of the game. It was second quarter of the game. We're down. I catch a pass for a first down, get blasted out of bounds by a linebacker, hit my knee on this turf, and this turf is like cement underneath, bro. And at the time, I'm playing for speed. I have my knee pads rolled up. I don't even think I played with knee pads at the time. I just had these thin thigh pads in, just speed, like the lightest I could be, the lightest cleats, low ankles, just like fucking get out of my way. Like because at the time, I'm telling you, I was fast as fuck. Really was. And strong too. I could bench 225 for 15 reps, like, you know, whatever. So I don't know where I was going with that, but so at the time I was just freaking very excited to be with, I guess my point is that I was just very excited to be with the community, like very excited to be with the team. We ran it back. I actually got, we ended up winning this game off, like, I had a one-handed catch on a fourth down. And when I got blasted out of bounds, oh, that's where I was. I got blasted out of bounds and I hurt my knee. And I knew something was wrong with my knee. That's where I was.
I think you're in a different place entirely. I don't even think it's your knee at this point. I think it's all the concussions, but I legitimately think that the one thing, everybody has heard this happen, and we'll get a good idea of Justin and mine conversations on the norm, in that this whole half hour conversation was, I'm like 98% sure, Justin slowly realizing that he needs to find his community now that he owns a house. Because this whole thing, you know, we know each other's story. We know a lot about each other. We shoot the shit all the time. Not enough, I would say. And the last time we were on the phone, I actually said, like, let's not do this right now. Let's catch up in a few weeks and record it, because we've been saying that we have to, right? So we used to have these conversations at work in person, and we would sit there for like a half hour not doing our jobs. And pretend to be eating, and we'd be sitting in the kitchen. We would literally like just meet all day in the kitchen. It was great. We would talk about our vacations. We would talk about we chatted, you know, literally like weeks before your wedding, which is your 5-year anniversary this year. Oh shit! I remember the conversation the week before the wedding, in the kitchen. But regardless, this whole thing to say, we would normally stand there and go, yeah, we have these, this is happening. I really need to get to the gym and like find people to work out with. And I think you've been in your house long enough. I think you need to find your community. You need to find, yeah. I mean, I've told you before, you can come to my gym. It's 20 minutes from you.
Yeah. I mean, dude, I would be. I'm just trying to think, like, pay $15.
That's a shitty thing. And I think I've told you I coached at a gym that's actually right by you and Metuchen.
Yeah. I could probably still find 100%. Some on this side, you know? And then, like, occasionally visit yours, and you could occasionally visit mine.
The one in Metuchen I do occasionally visit, because it's like my sister who owns it. It's a really good community there, really good people. But you need to
check it out.
You need to find your place, man.
Yeah. I think a part of me in me is like, I've had so much community and I've been blessed with that. It's not like I'm desperate. I'm not desperate for it, but it's not like I'm, you know, I'm so happy. I'm happy with what I do. I work hard, you know, I do this. And I think that would be very nice to have the community. And I'm going to get, obviously, the ball don't lie. Like, if it's been a big part of my life. It's going to continue to be a big part of my life. It's going to happen. You know, the football stories I was just kind of telling you because you asked the timeline.
For Georgia, that was the only one I didn't know about.
The national championship game. My point was, which I didn't get to finish because it actually was important. For people who are listening, they're like, what the fuck happened in the game versus Bridgeport? Like, did they win? Did they lose? We won. But when I got hit out of bounds in the second quarter and I felt my knee hurt on the ground, I fractured my kneecap. I played the rest of the game. And in the fourth quarter, I made a one-handed catch to basically seal
that one was not game. Over your head.
So, like, that one was not over my head. And it was in front of me, and it was a tough catch, but I lunged for it and caught it and made the play. And then we went down the field. Like, that was inside the red zone, and then we ended up scoring with, like, a minute left to win. But that kept our undefeated season going, and that got us to the national championship, and that year we won. After that game, I took off 6 weeks, and I came back, like, week 9, because my knee was literally – I had a fracture. I went to the doctor. I'm like, so what's wrong with it? I do something. He's like, well, you have – this is your knee, and that's a hairline fracture right down the fucking center of it. I was like, oh, shit. I'm like, well, how long does that take? He's like, honestly, a knee is a broken fractured kneecap like this is better than an ACL or anything because you can just come back in, like, 6 weeks. So I was like, really? I'm like, he's like, yeah, you just have to rest it, and you have to rehab it, and you have to be very smart. And I was already good at that from, like, you know, I already understood rehab, like, you know, I've been doing that my whole freaking – I had an Achilles in college. I had a hamstring and, you know, everything. But, yeah, it was just like, who plays through a broken knee? And, like, you know, you don't do stuff like that. Like the guy with the broken arm who climbed the rope. Let's this is a perfect way to finish today. Guy with broken arm climbed the rope. He's not doing that if there's no community there. Who's he doing that for? He's not, right? Like he has, like, everyone rooting him out. Like, yo, this guy's a beast, like you mentioned. And me, like, you know, and you probably have some amazing stories. How about some amazing stories? On another podcast with Alex, we should talk about a CrossFit competition. You want to talk about community. You want to talk about fucking playing with broken fingers and shit. Like, that was an intense day.
And you want to talk about awesome. Seeing what real athletes look like when you walk into the gym. Because that was – it still gives me the shakes.
Yeah. That, I mean, that was like the Mecca, right? That was like New York City CrossFit competition. That was big deal.
That was a small competition like, with people that were like 20th really? Place in regionals, and we'll get into it. We'll get there. No.
So they weren't even that good. They were like in grand scheme of like CrossFit level of dominance, they weren't like top percent.
Yeah.
Like, wow. Guys, these guys are monsters. They're kicking my ass, not Alex's. Alex, you could at least get through a lot. You could get through every exercise. I couldn't, but we'll get into that in the next one. So, last thing when we wrap up, I wanted to mention your what you do. I love fucking ice cream, and Alex loves ice cream, so we also share that passion. So I think his at. You mind if I tell him your at? Okay, it's Dan Eats Ice Cream, right? And it's at Zan, X-A-N, Eats Ice Cream on, you know, social media, on Instagram, I believe. But he makes his own ice cream, too. So it's pretty cool. And I'm a big ice cream fan. And actually, Alex always reminds me that I have
to have ice cream. Yes. I haven't had ice cream in so long. That's a good idea for tonight.
So check out my homie. Pleasure speaking with you, man. Episode 164 of the Fitness Crew podcast with my man, Alex. All right. We will.
Of course. I will chat with you soon, brother.
All right.